The Countryside Podcasts with Chris Skinner.
Slightly grey, but very mild still, middle of October. And the autumn colours, Chris, are something stunning here on High Ash Farm.
Matthew, hello, and welcome to High Ash as usual. Rats run off ahead of us, my terrible terrier. He's always so pleased to see you because it means half an hour or an hour roaming around a farm, which is one of his favourite things, as well as one of my favourite things. And we're in one of my favourite seasons as well, in autumn, and the sun's gone in, but all over the farm at the moment we've got the autumn colours, and it's particularly spectacular this year, all the variation of the colours, because we've had lots of warm sunshine over the summer months, and that has meant that the colours which emerge on the leaves now are more prevalent than normal, because there's two chemicals in leaves, apart from the one that causes the green colour of the leaves, which is called chlorophyll. There's two other chemicals which protect the chlorophyll against very bright sunlight, because chlorophyll can break down very easily in intense sun. So these chemicals are hidden up until this time of the year, because the trees now start to have problem getting water out of the soil in autumn, which we're well into now, middle of October, as you said. So what happens is the trees start to husband their resources and cut their leaves off with a special little layer where the leaf stem joins the twig or the branch. And it's a layer of corky-like substance, and that will be eventually where the leaf leaves the tree, and it's called the abscission layer. It's as though somebody's kind of put a knife through, an invisible knife. So the poor leaves now start to develop these extraordinary colours. Flavonoids and carotenoids are the two colours. So the carotenoids is the red and orange colour, and the flavonoids, the kind of yellowy colours as well. And they can sort of intermingle between each other as well. So you have the whole variety. So if we walk up to this, this is one of our more spectacular, colourful trees.
We've got all the reds and oranges here, haven't we?
All mixed up together. So there we are. We're right underneath what's a Norway maple. And already some of the leaves are starting to shed. And now you can see what's happened. We've just picked one up off the floor, a typical maple leaf, like that symbol that you have, the Canadian symbol on their flag, in fact, of the maple species. They have red maple and silver maple. And because of the intensity of the sunlight in Canada, we can't really match those colours, but you can plant those two particular trees in the UK and you have a fairly good show. But this one above us is just beginning to change, just on the tips of the branches. All the leaves are about the colour of my face almost, sort of scarlet red. Sorry about that.
Well, at least you're not the green colour.
No. So the wind we had over the recent days has just shed the very first leaves off the tree. And you can see this long stem, and this one's actually been torn off where it's actually joined the twig. But from all the rest of the leaves, this little abscission layer will be forming while we're speaking. So the green will gradually disappear because obviously the tree can't support chlorophyll production anymore. So it starts to change completely, and you have these glorious colours. And all our native trees, whether it's birch, beech, oak, all the whole variety of them, all shed their leaves at different times. And some of them develop colours. Elm is lovely because you get bright, bright yellow leaves on it. And it's got this rather endearing habit, if you can call it that, when the leaves go this lovely golden yellow just for a day. And then virtually 24 hours later, all the leaves are off the tree. So some, like oak trees, hang on to the leaves for like ever and a day, well into November. And the beech trees are fairly similar to elm in that Beside, there's this Cant Hill plantation, about 12 acres of woodland, lots of beech trees in there, and you can see some of them have already started to turn a lovely golden yellow colour as you look down the edge of the wood there. There's one particular one there leaning over the side of the wood. And they, if I drive down the side of the wood, sort of in about another week's time, it will be raining with beech leaves. They shed the leaves again, rather like our elm, very, very quickly indeed. So it's a really lovely time of year, and yet the oaks, they're dotted all over the farm, have hardly changed colour at all, so they'll hang on. Oak is one of the last ones to come into leaf, together with ash. Ash doesn't do too much. The leaves tend to turn brown and crinkly. And then you've got the introduced species. Things like sycamore would be one. And there's an avenue behind us over here, Lombardy poplars. They are, again, not native. And, of course, the horse chestnut. And horse chestnut in particular, with the sycamore, come into leaf very early. But they also lose their leaves really early. So autumn doesn't happen sort of all in one batch. It spreads itself. It kind of gently walks you into winter, I suppose, is one way of looking at it.
It can be speeded along, though, with a bout of bad weather, can't it?
That's it, and that's typical of this time of the year. Once you're into October, which we are, particularly towards the end of October, we've had the autumn equinox on the 23rd of September, so night is beginning to steal the march on daylight hours, if you like. Night time's more than daylight hours at the moment. And so that also has an effect on the amount of sunlight that falls on the trees, and therefore has quite a big effect on when the leaves actually drop off. But each tree, each species of tree, has its own means of dealing with autumn as it comes along. And it's a kind of a sign that you're heading into winter. And at the same time, many of the trees drop their seeds, or if the leaves come off in hedgerow trees, things like hawthorn, it exposes the berries even more than normal. So you have the bright, it's kind of, the bushes are saying, right, come on, here's this year's feast, if you like, to the birds, the squirrels, the small mammals. Come and eat it, but, you know, we'll drop the leaves off so it's easy pickings, and that's exactly what the plant wants. It's almost as though they're ruling the roost, in a funny way, if you could say that about trees, but that's their means of getting themselves about, that birds are invited to come and eat the seeds, fly away. The seeds come through their droppings, and that's one way the plants get themselves moved about. And, of course, the other plants that do that at this time of year, there's still some in flower right in front of us, and it's autumn hawkbit, and that will send its seeds off through the air like dandelion seeds. There's one there, almost the seed head is just down there in front of us. You get another good wind and it will blow the seeds away across the fields, sort of willy-nilly direction.
Just lets go all of a sudden, doesn't
it? Yes, it does. Yeah, all of a sudden, like those elm trees that I mentioned, and that was certainly a symbol here through my childhood in the 1960s and early 1970s, before Dutch elm came in. The whole farm was covered in elm trees. One field is even called Elm Bank on the far side of where we're standing, and there were some fabulous English elms on there, 8, 9, 10 feet through the trunk. Amazing.
You've never quite recovered from their loss, have you?
I haven't.
50 years later.
Yes, I know. It's a sort of, the farm is kind of like my mouth, and you sort of feel round it, and it's very familiar, and all of a sudden there's a gap where a tooth has gone, and it's that kind of missing particular tree species. And I think we took down 1,500 trees over a 5 to 6 year period. Some of them were so big we actually used dynamite to take stumps out, so I won't forget that. 1982, somebody came here and we blew the stumps out, and the bits of wood went up sky high and you were then able to plough where the trees had stood, but they were never taken out purposely at all, only after they were dead and the boughs were dropping off, so you're kind of compelled to do it. But I have planted a new species of elm on the far side of what we call Chestnut Wood there, right on the edge of where that field is called Elm Bank, and it's one of the new species of elm that's resistant to Dutch elm disease, and it's thriving. It was my 65th birthday present from my three children. They bought me a tree. and they
would have thought you'd had enough already.
No, exactly, I suppose you could say that. But it's thriving. It's now been in 10 years, and it's a good 4 or 5 inches through the trunk. Nothing to match, but it's completely unaffected by Dutch elm disease. Yet on the other side of the farm, I have a beautiful English elm. It's about 6 foot round the trunk, so you can't quite get your arms around it if you're into tree hugging. And sadly, for some reason this year, it suddenly succumbed to Dutch elm disease.
Oh, the one on Bodica Way?
Yes, it lost all its leaves about 8 weeks ago, nothing to do with the drought, and it's died. So this new elm that I've planted, hopefully, if it's successful, we'll plant some others. Like, it's a little bit expensive. New variety called New Horizon, to give you a kind of new look in the countryside, if you like. But it's pretty much an English elm, and it's absolutely thriving. So there's always hope out in the countryside when these new diseases come along, and the same for ash. But at the moment, all our tree species in some form or other are suffering a little bit. The droughts, the high winds that we seem to be getting, they're all affecting particularly the older generation of trees. There we are.
They're certainly giving a good display this autumn.
Yes.
We've got some reds. As soon as the sun comes out, they'll be glowing as
well. This is fabulous in the low autumn sunshine when you get this colour on this particular leaf. I mean, it was green about 10 days ago, and now it's all these lovely colours caused by those two hidden chemicals, carotenoids and flavonoids. There we are, a little bit of history of autumn there.
I feel like this week's podcast should be retitled Chris Skinner's Autumn Almanac.
Oh dear, yes.
Swallows flying into one of the large barns at High Ash Farm, feeding their young. This is one of the big conservation success stories I know you're very proud of.
Just brings a huge delight. 4 youngsters just waiting for mum and dad.
The podcast aims to bring you sights and sounds like this every week, and we're very thankful of your support. So any donations or subscriptions are very welcome indeed.
All we need is a little bit of extra help. It just keeps it going from week to week.
Monthly or one-off subscriptions, whatever the size. And the website, highashfarm.com/podcast.
6 youngsters right above our head, all with their gates wide open.